Welcome, and thank you for checking out our program. I'm Gary Puckett, one of 34 show hosts nationwide on the Flypod Media Network, and this special program is brought to you by CASA of Dearborn County, reaching out across southeastern Indiana communities because substance abuse knows no boundaries. CASA is a coordinating organization working collaboratively with numerous agencies and direct service providers, and their name truly does say it all. CASA, Citizens Against Substance Abuse. My guest on this special program is Judge Sally Blankenship of Dearborn County Superior Court No. 2. She has been responsible for or directly involved in the creation of a number of valuable programs and initiatives related to the JCAP program and the local drug and alcohol court. Judge Blankenship, welcome to this special CASA program. It's good to see you again.
Well, it's good to see you, and thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. I would like to begin by having you explain, first of all, what does JCAP stand for, and what is the JCAP program?
JCAP stands for Jail Chemical Addiction Program. And as judge, I had interest in seeing that there were more ways to deal with the growing number of individuals that we have involved in the criminal justice system where substance abuse is the root of the crime. Mm-hmm. And this has been a very challenging thing to address. Before I became judge in 2006, I was the prosecutor for three terms. And one thing that I saw the entire time in both the prosecutor job and now as judge is that substance abuse plays a very integral role in the crime in our community. And part of making our community safer is doing something with the substance abuse. And it's also very tragic to the families where substance abuse is an issue. We see on almost a daily basis people from really good families who are affected by substance abuse, and their crimes affect their family, affects their schools, affects the businesses, affects children in the community. And the JCAP program is an effort to have a resource in our jail. We are one of the first jails in southeastern Indiana to have this type of program available, and we have done so through the ability to partner with treatment personnel. We have been able to hire a substance abuse counselor that is master's prepared that actually has a program on a pod in the jail where individuals, while they're serving their sentence or awaiting to go to court on their sentence, actually have a very intense treatment program that involves cognitive behavioral therapy. But it is actually a way of using different methods to help the individuals involved relook at their actions, retrain their brains in ways to deal with issues in positive, responsible, accountable ways, and understand why they are making those choices. And that is a further help in their step to give them the tools to be substance-free when they leave jail.
How long has the JCAP program been in operation?
The JCAP program has been in operation since 2008. It came out of an effort with the court, the prosecutor. At the time, the sheriff was David Lusby, and Sheriff Mike Krynup has continued the program. And we started with a program just being a program for males on one pod at the jail, which can have up to 18 individuals at one time. And then in 2011, we received a very generous grant from the Community Foundation in Dearborn County, which enabled us to offer a woman's program.
In your opinion, how well is it working? How effective is it?
Dealing with substance abuse, and particularly the type of substance abuse we have in our community, which over the years has been more involved with serious painkillers, opiates, and heroin, the success rate can be very challenging. And studies have shown that once individuals start using heroin, they may have only a 6% chance of ever maintaining drug-free. So those statistics are overwhelming. we have had a lot of success. We've had a lot of younger and older individuals who've been in the program. They've successfully completed the program. Many have entered the program that Judge Cleary heads, which is the Drug Court Program. ACC Court is the name for it. It stands for Accountability, Change, and Community. And that is in some ways kind of like a step-down program to the Jail Chemical Addiction Program. And in that program, they're in it anywhere from a year to 2 years, where they are put back out in the community under certain limitations, continuing with treatment, continuing coming back to court for reviews of how they're doing, being tested. And the individuals that have successfully completed those two phases have generally been quite successful. We have kids right now that are successfully attending college. We have had families that have been reunited. We've even had individuals who've been involved with the JCAP program successfully completed and giving back to the community by volunteering and being involved in other groups that help people and families that have these issues. So we don't really have a statistic, and there are people who are in the program and they are not able to be successful. But our rates are certainly more successful than if we had done nothing.
Oh, of course. You know, in addition to being instrumental in implementing the JCAP program, you also started in work to implement the Drug and Alcohol Court. Now, at the risk of sounding somewhat naive, what is a Drug and Alcohol Court program? Can you give me some specifics on that?
The best way I can explain it is how I got involved in drug and alcohol courts. I had never heard of what they were either, and I first heard of them when I first became prosecutor quite a number of years ago. I had some interest in this area because I had a nursing background prior to becoming the prosecutor. And through the prosecutor's office, we applied for a grant that provided a team of us to go to some training on what drug and alcohol courts were. And basically, they're a way of combining the power of the courts, the ability of courts to require people to have treatment or require to have certain things done, combined with the treatment community. And studies have shown if you combine the advantages of treatment with the requirements of a court situation, and obviously no one who comes into these programs has come there without committing a criminal offense. So they definitely have somewhat of an advanced substance abuse problem. But the power of combining those two systems together has shown that people are more apt to be successful than if they just go to jail or if they just go to have treatment and can leave any time they wish or are not tested on their successfulness.
Well, having the courts involved, maybe this is an odd way of putting it, but it seems like having the courts involved would put some teeth in it?
That is the correct word, yes.
Okay.
It gives more of a way to hold the people accountable,
yes,
and make sure they're following through.
Sure.
And sometimes the knowing that you're going to be accountable makes you follow through better. And to give it somewhat of an analogy is something like, I'm always trying to lose weight. So Weight Watchers, where they go, there's accountability, there's people checking on what they're doing, and that seems to be something that helps people be successful.
Sure.
Just a human nature trait.
Well, allow me to ask you this. How are these programs funded?
We started funding the JCAP program through some innovative ideas. Initially started with fees that we collected from a new program that we initiated that we call the A&D program, stands for Alcohol and Drug Education Program. And this is a program that's credentialed by the Indiana Judicial Center, which we obtained credentialing for that. That is for a lower risk level of person with substance abuse issues. It is a program that once they come into the court system, they are assessed, and then they either go to an education program that the court sponsors or they're referred to counseling. And the fees from this program are utilized to fund the substance abuse counselors in the JCAP program, as well as we've received some community grants, the largest being from the Community Foundation. Citizens Against Substance Abuse has provided some grants, and then we've had some smaller grants from other local community leaders, including the United Community Bank Foundation has given us a small grant to assist, as well as Women Empowering Women gave a grant for the women's program.
That's great.
None of the program is funded from tax dollars. Currently, it is all funded from grants and the fees that we have from people that come through the criminal system, and we've asked for no county tax dollars to assist in the program, and we feel very good about that because it has really been a positive force in this community to have this program available.
Well, that's a unique distinction right there, to not be reliant on public monies. That's very different. Well, if an individual is in the local jail for, let's say, drinking and driving, how would they go about getting into either of these programs?
Okay, well, first off, generally, someone is not going to be in jail for any length of time if they're a first-time offender, and even a second-time offender. They are going to be more attuned to being in the program where I talked about just a moment ago, the alcohol A&D program, where they're going to have on a probationary status an assessment and go to education or counseling. There may be people who are arrested for an operating while intoxicated who may actually have a drug problem. We're finding more and more people coming into court, and the basis of their impaired driving may be heroin or opiates. They may have extensive other criminal history. They may be arrested for a fairly minor offense, but they actually have an opiate addiction. Those people, if they're actually in the jail, anyone can apply. It is open to anyone of any of the three courts, and they're selected on the basis of availability of the unit. There's a limited number of beds, and generally we have a waiting list for people to get in the women and men's JCAP program.
Wow.
And then it also looks at their wanting to change, their ability to recognize they do have the issue, their responsibility, and if this is an appropriate program for them.
You know, recognizing that one has a problem seems to be the fundamental springboard, if you will, for individuals with substance abuse problems, alcohol problems. It all seems to be a common thread. They have to admit it and want to seek the help themselves. Is that a fair?
I think that that is fair. And I think this is where sometimes I often tell parents when they have an adult child even arrested, you know, that's not what anybody wants to have happen. But sometimes good can come out of bad.
Yeah.
The jail occurring can be the incident or the thing that makes the person recognize and realize, hey, this is not what I want my life to be. I need to make a change.
The wake-up call, if you
will. The wake-up call. And the jail chemical addiction program, parts of it that help people come to that recognition is there's a mentoring component of the program.
Oh, good.
And
yeah.
The people in the program actually are learning other skills, leadership skills. And some of the people that have been in the program longer become mentors to those who are new in the program. And many of the people in the JCAP program, after they've spent a couple weeks there, it's more enlightening. They're getting insight into why this is a problem for them, what has triggered them to make this a problem, and it gives them insight into how each of them individually can make progress. And a key component of the jail chemical addiction program, again, is having these master's level prepared substance abuse specialists, and they have individual counseling as well as group counseling, as well as, since the program has progressed, we have several of the successful JCAP participants come back and are involved in the program with the individuals at the jail, which is very beneficial. We have several who have become more involved in self-help groups in the community, like AA and NA, and they have become more active in the jail program along with us. We've seen lots of good things come from this, and we've also partnered up with the schools, and the JCAP participants are a regular part of several of the area schools' programs for the students, and they actually go from the jail and talk about their circumstance, and it's been a very rewarding part of the program.
I would think that from a personal standpoint, it would be therapeutic for them as former program participants to come back and then return the favor, so to speak.
It is, yeah. And that is a key part of the program. It's not just geared just on the issue of substance abuse, but on the whole individual, helping them be what they can be a better, more responsible person to their family, to whoever, whatever business they're going to be employed by, to themselves and to our community. So with each success, everybody in this community gains.
When an individual is released from jail related to a substance abuse issue, I've been told that this is somewhat of a high-risk time for a recovering addict. So do you have specific aftercare programs that you can refer to within the community to kind of give them the supports they need to hold things on track?
Yes, we do have some resources. One I talked about is the ACC court. Some individuals are appropriate to go into that. We use community corrections. They're in-home services. That can be something that is helpful. All the AA and NA groups in our community are a very big support system. Counseling from Community Mental Health Center, LifeWorks, the other organizations. One of the things that we still have lacking in the community is what might want to be called a safe house or a place where individuals can go, where they're still working on these issues, not necessarily needing to be any more confined in a jail situation, but an actual place to live. Sometimes what happens with people who are in jail, they aren't working, they've lost their job, their family may have had it with them. So, or they may have come from a family where everyone else in the family is still using drugs. We had a very sad situation like this a couple years ago. We actually had an 18-year-old in the JCAP program who was still a senior at one of the school systems. They worked with him while he was in jail. He actually got straight A's that semester, even though he generally wasn't a very good student. He was successful, but he is one of the people that had difficulty when he had to return to the home, and the home was primarily involving drugs. He came from a family where the parents were using drugs. So that can sometimes be an issue. Partnering up with old friends can be an issue. We have some resources. We try to connect them with those.
Old habits, old connections.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is a struggle day by day for people who get involved with substance abuse. The substance abuse just overpowers what they themselves want to see happen.
You are directly involved as a member of CASA locally. So I wanted to ask you, how important are grassroots organizations like CASA to the local community at large? I mean, you're in the trenches. You see this stuff every day. Can you give our listeners some insight into just how much of a critical role they play?
I think that Citizens Against Substance Abuse plays a very critical role and is important to our community because substance abuse is a grassroots problem in our community. It starts with families, it starts with schools, businesses. We all have to work together. And the power of community action is that you get people who become more aware of the problem, people who are able to get involved. The Citizens Against Substance Abuse has gotten a lot of involvement in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very key area. And they have been able, through their resources, and I think most of their resource comes from funds that are collected from people that are convicted of substance abuse problems, they are able to give grants back to different police entities or service entities that are specifically targeting this problem through either education, service, or crime prevention.
You had mentioned that earlier in your professional career you worked as a prosecutor. So I'm a little curious as to, in your opinion, how substance abuse has changed over the years from back when you were a prosecutor. Can you give us an idea as to how it compares over this time frame?
Substance abuse has always been a problem in the criminal justice system. It's always been a factor in serious crime, bank robberies, crimes of violence. We have found that the majority of people involved in crime, substance abuse is a factor.
Okay.
And they're a factor either that they're under the influence of substance abuse when they're committing the crime and it was a factor in their violence or the way they went about carrying out the crime. Mm-hmm. It's also a factor in their motivation to commit the crime.
I would think so,
because it is a very expensive habit when you get into opiates and heroin. Their need just keeps increasing. So the amount of money they need to keep up their habit keeps increasing. So they have to look for a source for that money from somewhere, and generally it's not, you know, earning pay at a regular job. Also, a factor is that many people will then start selling a portion of their drugs or some of their drugs to get money to buy more drugs. And then you have actual dealers who are looking for people to just basically abuse to get them addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exploit and get them addicted. But substance abuse has been a problem throughout time. What I can see a difference in the drug use, the drugs change. I think when I first became prosecutor, which was quite a number of years ago, there was a lot of cocaine in the area. That seemed to be more of an issue. Then we had meth labs that were quite a big issue. Today's drugs, I think the most concerning thing is the use of the prescription drugs. I think, and the age at what a lot of kids are experimenting with these. They're more apt to have children in grade school and young high school age experimenting with these prescription drugs than we used to see ages ago. And heroin is very available in our area. It's in all the school systems. It is in the high schools. And
on this prescription drugs, is this a case where these young people, for lack of a better description, they literally go into their parents' or grandparents' medicine cabinet? I mean, what are they getting this at home, or are they getting it on the streets?
They're getting it both ways.
Okay.
I think more availability of these drugs in people's medicine cabinets. So some is taking out of a relative's cabinet, and then some kids are bringing some to school and selling them. It's a combination of that. Occasionally you have people who've been prescribed them for medical reasons and then get addicted in that manner. But
wow.
There's a lot more in the high school where they're actually experimenting with this. So the potency of the drugs is changed. There's much easier access than there used to be to heroin. I don't remember a case when I was early on as a prosecutor of heroin even being in our community. I see people with heroin. I was trying to think just this week. I have had at least 10 heroin cases in my court, anywhere from student who was an A student and developed an opiate habit, who's still of a very young age, to someone who was arrested for driving while impaired, who had just shot up with heroin 2 hours before she drove the car, to individuals who were parked at a local convenience store and a concerned citizen called because there was a small child in the car and they were using drugs. It's almost mind-boggling.
But you do see, in both in the JCAP program and the drug and alcohol court program, a combination of these things. You're seeing success cases.
We are seeing success.
That's encouraging. But I have to tell you, this is eye-opening, what you have been telling me, and it probably speaks to the fact that I have very little knowledge or exposure to the drug culture, which is a good thing, but the education is invaluable. Just talking with you is, I've learned something, and I hope listeners have as well. Judge Blankenship, I want to thank you for coming on this special program today. The information you've shared, like I said, is very valuable. And the members of the community need to be knowledgeable on these programs and supports as well. Listeners, if you would like to know more about CASA and become part of the solution with Citizens Against Substance Abuse, I would suggest that you contact them directly. They are the locally funded coordinating council working with the Governor's Commission for a Drug-Free Indiana. Anti-drug messages are everywhere, and you may feel a little overwhelmed at times by the message, but these programs are helping address a very, very serious problem in our society, including the communities of Southeast Indiana. Call CASA directly at 812-532-3538. Ask for Donna Thacker. Or you can begin your inquiry by visiting their website at DearbornCountyCASA.com. Once again, Judge, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
I'm Gary Puckett, and thank you for listening in.